If you open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Romans 12, verse 17. If you've ever responded in haste, maybe said something or sent an email or a text, or perhaps posted something on social media that you later regretted, this sermon as application. These verses come in a section of Romans that deals with Christian living, on how we are to react towards people. And here, when people treat us in a certain way, how we are to react towards them. So, do you remain seated, stand, or? Okay. I'll read Romans 12, verses 17 and 18, and then we'll pray. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I'll read that again. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Let's pray. Our Father, as we look together at your word now, we pray that you would teach us by your Spirit how to live lives holy, lives set apart for you, to live for your glory, for your name's sake. Help us, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if someone mistreats you as a Christian, or even goes out of their way to harm you, what is your reaction supposed to be? How are we to, as Christians, called to react when someone does something evil towards you? And that is what these verses deal with now. And the first principle the apostle lays out in regards to this here, in verse 17, our text, is repay no one evil for evil. In other words, don't just retaliate and strike back in whatever way. You see, the reason Paul no doubt begins with this, what is a guiding principle, is because the natural instinct when someone treats you in what you perceive to be an evil way, the natural instinct is to want to strike back and get even. How dare they treat me in such a way? Now, I want to show you how this is linked to the previous verse there. As at the end of the previous verse, verse 16, we are told, never be wise in your own sight, or never be wise in your own estimation of yourself. And that is basically another way of saying, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to. I mean, think about this. When someone has an overinflated opinion of themselves, they are always going to be easily offended at the slightest thing and ready to lash out. The instinctive reaction is always going to be, how dare they treat me that way? And instantly and instinctively lash out with vengeance. James 3 from verse 13 puts it this way. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You see, in order to react right, we've got to get our thinking right. If our wisdom, if our thinking is clouded by bitterness and jealousy, or selfish ambition, there's nothing wrong, by the way, with ambition in and of itself. Someone can be ambitious for the glory of God, but selfish ambition is the problem. But when you are ambitious in whatever way for the glory of self, well, when all these things are clouding your mind, you're not going to react in the right way. And so one of the guiding principles that the apostle began with, of course, in chapter 12, is do not be conformed to the mindset of this fallen world. So we really have it again here. You see, if our thinking is wrong, we're going to react wrong. If one has an over-inflated opinion of oneself, then that person is going to be easily offended and see everything as a personal attack. And if someone treats you in what you perceive to be an evil way, your instinct is going to be instinctively to lash out in whatever way to get revenge. Well, the Christian is not to be in that way, Paul states here. To think of this in another way, imagine if the Lord treated us that way. Imagine if his response after we treated him evil was just to lash out. I mean, none of us would be here. We'd all be in hell. So that's the negative part here, what not to do. But then in the next part of the verse, Paul tells us what to do instead. He says, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all men. You see, this is what we are to do. Give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all men. The ESV translates this quite beautifully. In case anyone is reading from the Old King James, I must point out that that translation renders this verse, provide things honest in the sight of all men, which is okay if you're living in the 17th century and you're one of the people that translation was intended for, but it makes absolutely no sense in the way we use the word provide today. You see, back in the 17th century, the word provide actually meant to take thought beforehand, to think ahead. Hence why the ESV translates this, but give thought to do. You see, the idea here is when someone treats you in what you perceive to be in a bad or evil way, don't respond by instantly lashing out in revenge, but take thought. Think it through is the idea. And when it says in the next part that you are to give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, again, the ESV really gets the idea, I think. The idea is to respond in a way that is good, that can be seen by all, that others can see it as good. It's the same words used in 2 Corinthians 8:21. For we aim, there Paul says, for we aim in our conduct at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of men. That is, we aim to be blameless if we can, to act in a just and right manner, not just before the Lord, although that is the primary, but hopefully we can also react and conduct ourselves in a way that is right in the sight of men. Of course, our first duty is to the Lord, and that must not be compromised for the other. But, and notice it says here, in the sight of all men. That is, believers and unbelievers alike. You see, in our actions, in the way we respond, we are to be concerned about what others think. In the sight of all men, it says, do good in the sight of all men. We are to be conscious in how we react that the lost world is looking on at us. You see, the teaching of this verse is, when someone does what you perceive to be an evil towards you, you are not to respond without thinking it through properly by instantly lashing out, But you are to take thought. How is the lost world going to perceive how I respond to this? You are to pause, think. If I respond in this or that certain way, what will they think of Christ and Christianity? Remember this verse, it's in the context here of thinking of the church as a body. And so we must ask ourselves as Christians, if I react in a certain way, what will people think of the church I am part of? You see, it is the Lord's name we are to be concerned with. If I respond in this way or that way, what effect is it going to have on others? You see, this is really another section about living the gospel. The unbelievers, the lost world around you, will judge the gospel and Christianity by what they see in us. So we must think it through. How is my response going to affect the perception of Christ and Christianity? You see, you're a Christian now, and so no man lives unto himself. You've got to realize that what you do doesn't just affect you alone. No man lives unto himself. But what you do and say is going to affect what others think of Christ and Christianity. In how you behave, in your conduct, in how you react to a perceived evil against you. And never think in terms of yourself only. But you must think first of what effect will my response have on others. You see, this is what must dictate or govern our response. Think it through. What response would give God the most glory? And think about all the times, brethren. You know, you've been hasty. How many times have you and I perceived an evil by someone against us? And so you've said something without properly thinking it through and then regretted it. How many times have people sent a text, an email, or replied to a post on social media, something on Facebook or whatever, and later thought, if only I had just waited. And, you know, we live in a minefield today with all the technology. You know, there have been times in the past when someone has sent me a rather angry or provocative message on WhatsApp. And of course, WhatsApp, when you send someone a message, it gives you the two blue ticks to say it's sent, and it gives the two blue ticks, I should say, to show they've read the message. But then you find there are people who, they want to bring back public hanging, of course, well, the death penalty is still here, but they want it to apply for that because I've not responded in 30 seconds. When in actual fact, what I'm doing is I'm doing what this verse tells me. I'm thinking about what is the best way to respond to the angriness. Or I might be doing something else and it's come up, so I've got to spend my attention to that. You know, the world doesn't revolve around people. You see, I use that by way of example because many times you will feel under pressure to respond rashly. But you don't want to do that. And make sure you pause, think it through. Have time out. You see, rather than very quickly respond in a way without properly thinking it through, you must think, what is likely to be the final effect if I respond like this? Is it better to sit on your fingers and save the text or the email or the call for another day? In which time you might have a completely different perspective on things. By then, you might see, well, I've overreacted, or more things have come to light. Or you might be thinking later, what good is this going to do anyway? Yeah, I remember once I had a school teacher who used to say, engage brain before mouth. And that's good advice, properly thinking it through. You know, sometimes you meet people who they say, I always speak my mind. And they're proud of the fact that they say the first thing that comes into their head, no matter how rude, without thinking it through. Without thinking about what effect it will have on others. But according to this verse, a Christian should never have that attitude. Should never be one of those people who says, I just always speak my mind and say the first thing that comes out. And never try and excuse things like that by saying, you know, well I'm of a certain nationality or a certain family or whatever, a certain background. You know, never try to excuse sin by some sort of cultural context. You know, when Paul said to the Cretans, those of Crete are always liars, he wasn't saying, well, it's okay for you to lie because you're from Crete. You know, just like, you know, if someone is from, this is the way it is where we live, but if someone is from Africa or Spain or Latin America, it doesn't mean it's okay for them to be late. Or if someone comes from the Middle East, it's not okay to have a bad temper. Believe it or not, there are professing Christians there who just lash out in anger and then they try and excuse it by saying, oh, it's just a cultural thing. You see, cultural sin is sin. You see, that is, you know, the way Paul is speaking to those in Crete. He says, or is the saying true? You're different. You're Christians now. And so, you're not to be that stereotype. And so, a Christian should never be those people who just say, oh, I just speak my mind all the time without thinking it through. And so, verse 18 continues with this. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Live at peace with all, that is, believers and unbelievers alike. As far as it depends upon you. Notice, as far as it depends upon you, you are to take the initiative. The Christian is not to be the troublemaker. There's much in Proverbs about that. You know, the contentious, argumentative, always picking a fight type of person is not a characteristic of a Christian. There's a lot of Christian bloggers out there and so-called discernment ministries that act in a way where they're always ready to figuratively punch someone in the face. But again, that's not characteristically Christian. But I want you to think about this. In reacting in a way that is not going to be a bad witness, and as far as it depends upon you, thinking about it in terms of you taking the initiative to be at peace. First of all, remember, you know, you're not trying to win the argument, but the person. Well, you are trying to win the argument, but it's the person first and foremost. You see, if you just get someone's back up unnecessarily, then you've lost them. You may have won an argument, but they may go home thinking, well, they won the argument too anyway. But secondly, think of this in terms of online disagreements with others. Much of the world lives in that sphere today. You know, I remember one time another Christian was arguing with me over some secondary issue that was evidently a first issue to him. But we eventually agreed to disagree. Now, he was doing this via Facebook, so at the end of it, I thanked him for doing it on the private messenger, so only I and he could see. Because if it had been plastered all over my Facebook wall in public, in view of others, then all the unbelievers, the non-Christians looking on, would not have understood it. You know, it would have been a really bad witness. So even though I disagreed with him, and I thought his manner was a bit harsh, I thanked him for still doing it in private. Whereas I remember another person just plastering my Facebook wall, and every time I would delete his dribble, because I'm thinking, this doesn't look good in front of all the unbelievers I'm trying to reach here, he just posts some more. And so in the end, I had to defriend him and take him off. You see, he obviously thought that all the world had to agree with him over some secondary issue. because he wasn't thinking, how is this going to be perceived by unbelievers? What sort of testimony is this going to give? He wasn't thinking of the glory of God in those people's souls. All that was before him was personal pride and winning an argument. And he didn't want to be seen to lose. Because, you know, he didn't want the people, my friends or my wife's friends, who he didn't even know, to think it's ridiculous. You know, if you ever have a disagreement with someone in a church meeting, perhaps over some theological issue or whatever, don't lash out. Think it through. What are onlookers going to think of this? You know, you've always got weaker and newer, less mature Christians, some people who are walking through the door in the first time and they see some odd discussion that could be about testimony. I mean, it's very serious stuff. I mean, supposing you have a disagreement with someone else and so you have this big squabble, whether it's online or in a church setting or in a house setting or at work or wherever, but it's in a public setting and people know you're a Christian, and so the result of it, people are turned off the gospel and Christianity. And so part of the reason they end up in hell is because of your conduct. Not to mention they then going around blaspheming the Lord's name, saying those Christians are just like that. You see, as Christians, we don't want to bring shame upon the name of Christ. Now, that should be our concern. But we've got to realize you cannot do things in isolation as a Christian. You are to, as our Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I mean, think of this in every aspect of your life, that people are watching you, people are looking on. Now, of course, let me make clear here, you may still do everything right and you're still going to get some false accusations. I mean, the Apostle Paul did, our Lord Jesus did. If you think of Joseph in the Old Testament, he was a classic example of someone living out this verse. And yet, he was still thrown in prison for something he didn't do. But he's also an example of how to respond. Now, the next thing I want to point out here, though, is it does not say, Paul does not say, be at peace with people at any cost. He doesn't say, be at peace with people at any cost, but as far as it depends upon you. Remember, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. It's pure, meaning truth first. You see, you're not to be the troublemaker. You're not to be the one who initiates the fight, and you are to try and be the peacemaker, if you like, in your actions. But there are some people who will go out of their way to be difficult. And they will... There are some people you cannot make peace with. Well, with those people, you can sleep at night, knowing that as far as it depended upon you, they could have had peace. But again, this peace is not at any cost. We are told in Scripture, for instance, if anyone comes to you preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. He doesn't say just agree with them for the sake of peace. In 2 John, we're told, if anyone comes bringing another doctrine of the person of Jesus, saying something like he's not fully God or he's not fully man, then don't even give him a greeting. It's not talking about your neighbor, though, you're trying to witness to, but someone teaching. There is such a thing as church discipline in Scripture for those who profess to be Christians but continue in unrepentant sin. We are told to avoid the divisive person after one or two warnings. And we are to earnestly contend for the faith, not put it aside for the sake of peace. You know, in regards to a pastor teaching from the pulpit and other Christians in a general sense, of course we should be sensitive, but there should never be a case, for instance, where a pastor thinks, I can't preach this certain truth because so-and-so will be offended and leave the church. You know, I once had someone come to me, very disgruntled over the doctrine of Calvinism and the sovereignty of God, and was showing their anger and disgust over it. And the next time they came into our meeting, and it came up in that sermon, it was just in the text, but he actually got up and walked out in the middle of the sermon. But you see, we're not to skip over parts of the Bible in order to pacify those types of people. You know, we're not to think, I can't preach this because so-and-so might leave the church. I'm just the messenger. It's not my message to tamper with. In fact, it's a very serious thing to do so. You see, what I'm saying in these examples is, in making peace, we should never do it in a way which would deny Christ and our Christian faith. Our Lord Jesus said, If you deny me before men, then I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. So this verse is not saying, in order to have peace and an easy life, deny your faith in Christ. Pretend you're not a Christian at times. You know, many people have gone to their deaths because they were not willing to deny they were Christians. You see, there are some people who will not have peace with you because you are a Christian. Like in the previous verses here, he's not teaching if people persecute you, then pretend you're not a Christian. You are to be faithful in your Christian faith. But as far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all people. You see, a Christian wife married to an unbeliever can and should go out of her way, as far as it depends upon her, to be at peace with her husband. But she cannot deny Christ in that. And the same goes in the workplace or anywhere else in life. When you're around unbelievers, you are to go out of your way to live at peace. But you don't deny Christ. But as far as it depends upon you, live at peace. And we are not to sin in order to have peace with people. We are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And Lloyd-Jones pointed out something regarding this, which was excellent. And that is, there are some people who have a tendency to always want to retaliate and strike back. And of course, I've just given application for that. But then, of course, there are people at the other end of the spectrum. There are other people who will do anything for a peaceful life, and just give in to bullies, and let people walk all over them. Well, that's not Christian either, he points out. That is not what this is talking about. That sort of thing is just being lethargic and cowardly, of trying to avoid confrontations. You see, this is not being scared and so being willing to do anything for a peaceful life. Let me point out here, you know, in all this, there are sometimes you have to respond quickly. You know, it may be in defending someone or something. He's not saying, oh, stop, pause, think about it, and the person's dead on the floor or whatever. You know, obviously, but in the context of, like, the examples I've given, when you can respond rashly and there was time to think it through. But you see, not acting in haste and doing something you regret is the idea, but thinking it through. What is the best response that's going to glorify God? What is going to be the best testimony? What's going to be the best to win these people to Christ? And you see, ultimately, these verses the related theme that keeps coming up in Romans 12, or a repeated word, I should say, is love. You see this again and again. Love is to dictate how we respond. Love to God first and love to fellow man. And as Charles Leiter rightly points out, with instruction like this, and in the Sermon on the Mount also, these instructions are not to be taken as in like a to-the-letter law. But You're meant to take these words as, you know what I mean is, you're not meant to take these words as like rule number 15. This is how I should respond exactly, and what, you know, tick that box when it could be the wrong response. But we're giving principles here. And the overriding principle is love. How can I best show love to God and love to fellow man in how we respond? You see, these verses, they don't forbid going to a civil magistrate when you've been wronged. Paul deals with that in the next chapter. Even the Old Testament law gave principles for civil magistrates. So there's nothing wrong with calling the police or whatever authority. So, but don't lash out, but first pause and think. What is the best way I can respond that can give glory to God? What is going to be the best witness? Think first, pray about it. Don't take things personally. And it may be letting things go is the best response that time. It may be doing some charitable deed is the best response. It may be calling the police and getting them arrested. I remember last time I was in the U.S. Up north, there was, well, it was in the middle, but kind of everything's north of of Texas. But there was a member of the church there who, prior to making a profession in Christ, had been in prison for, was in prison for dealing drugs. And but after making a profession, he'd gone back to it. Well, the church were now praying for his conversion. You know, they was loving him and praying for him. But at the same time, they were also praising God in the same prayers for taking him off the street so he's not harming others with his drug dealing. You see, that is a right balance there. You see, love and glory to God dictates our response. And so we have to pause, think it through. What is going to bring glory to God? And of course, you can apply this to other areas of life when you're not treated evil. You know, when you're choosing what to do. You have many choices. Think it through. What is going to bring more glory to God? When you're volunteering to help for things, it's very easy to volunteer, isn't it, to do everything, but you can't. Sometimes you can take things too much on, and that can be a bad testimony because then you can't follow it through. You know, think, can I properly do this, and so forth. So, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray you would help us to apply these principles to our lives, that we would be governed by Scripture, that we would not be unnecessarily about testimony. Help us to be about our Father's business, concerned for the name of the Lord in what we say, what we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.